This is a recording of Regina Cochrane on the 2004 World Social Forum, a left libertarian, ecological, feminist critique. She spoke at the 2004 Renewing the Anarchist Tradition Conference at Goddard College in Plainfield, Vermont on September 26, 2004. This is the first of a two-part recording. One of the major venues for the contemporary anti-globalization movement is the annual World Social Forum. These conferences were initiated in Porto Alegre, Brazil in 2001 as a counter to the World Economic Forum. The 2004 World Social Forum was held in the globalized megacity of Mumbai, India. This presentation, which is based on Professor Cochrane's own participant-observer research at the 2004 World Social Forum, examines some of the main issues discussed at this forum, the types of political tendencies represented there, and some central contradictions in the social forum process itself. Regina Cochrane has been actively involved in a number of social movements, including most recently the feminist and anti-globalization movements. She is presently teaching in the Women's Studies program at the University of Calgary, where she is working on a research project titled Ecofeminism, Globalization, and Modernity.
Let's get started anyway. Is anybody here involved in the social forum movement in the U.S., or have you gone to any social forums? The local social forums you have?
I recorded things at the Boston Social Forum.
Oh, at the Boston Social Forum, which was fairly recently, yeah. I think. In
July?
Yeah. Anybody else?
I went to the Boston Social Forum.
Oh, okay. Is anybody else planning to go to a social forum, or?
Not yet.
Okay, just wondering. Because aside from the World Social Forum, there's a whole social forum movement. My talk is going to be pretty informal today, maybe I can talk for, 20, 25 minutes or so, and then just open it up, or, with a small number like this, if you have a question, I think, you could just interrupt. If there were a whole room full, that might be awkward, but, if something comes up, just interrupt. Okay, so, what I want to do is, this paper is listed, the title is listed as the 2004 World Social Forum, a Left Libertarian Environmental Feminist Analysis. Actually, I have a paper coming out in Women and Environments International. It's a magazine that comes out of Toronto, and I'm editing the fall issue. The fall issue is focusing on women in the grassroots anti-globalization movement, North and South. I'm going to have an article in it entitled Another World Through Diversity, in quotation marks, question mark, eco/feminism at the 2004 World Social Forum. So that will focus specifically on the social forum in Mumbai, which I attended in January past. Here, I think I'm going to go a little further, because I've been looking at the social forum movement for a couple of years. So besides the Mumbai Social Forum, I went to the Toronto Social Forum in 2003, the Alberta Social Forum last October, October 2003, and I went to the Americas Social Forum in Quito, July, the end of July of this year. So I'll just, add some comments about that. I'm looking at the social forum because I'm doing research on the anti-globalization movement. I teach women's studies, and I've been an activist, and I've been involved in the anti-globalization movement. And the World Social Forum is kind of the largest space right now for the anti-globalization movement. So it's interesting to look at what kind of politics are being practiced in the social forum, and what implications this has for women, for anarchists, for environmentalists too. So, and more specifically, I'm looking at the issue of modernity, because I'm interested in looking critically at postmodernism and anti-modernism. The politics of the anti-globalization movement, besides being labeled as anarchist, which is kind of a stretch, You know, there are there's a lot of anarchist interest in the anti-globalization movement right now, but anarchists tend to be involved more at the street level, and they tend to be a minority, even at the street level. But some alternative descriptions of the anti-globalization movement label it postmodernist. So I'm interested in looking specifically at the social forum movement to see what kind of politics is being practiced there and what kind of implications this politics has for women and for environmentalists and for anti-authoritarian leftists more generally. Okay, so the paper in Women and Environments International will just be focusing on the Mumbai Social Forum. Later on, I'm writing another one on postmodernism in the social forum because I can see a big influence of that, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this today. But I'm going to do this at a more theoretical level later on. But does anybody know what is the World Social Forum, like how it got started or where it came from? Anybody have any idea?
Porto Alegre, mm-hmm. bunch of NGOs mm-hmm. thought they'd come together in opposition to the World Economic Forum, which had been meeting in Davos, Switzerland for years and years, and that this social forum would have a social agenda, whereas the economic forum in Davos was like this, you know, kind of capitalist agenda for the economy, and this was talking about society more broad terms or something like mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it started off as a counter forum to the World Economic Forum, and it's an annual event. It's been happening since 2001. The first World Social Forum was held in Porto Alegre, Brazil, and that had a lot to do with the politics in Brazil. Lula da Silva and the Workers' Party that he's associated with. It was kind of a Porto Alegre and the state in Brazil, of which Porto Alegre is a capital. The social democratic government there was more open to looking. They have a process called a participatory budget, where they have groups consulting on the budget. And this kind of process was what gave people the idea that maybe they should have an alternative forum on globalization that's open to the whole world, following some of the practices of Lula's party. The politics was very supportive, and also the idea that this forum should be held in the South. So there was a coalition that the coalition of groups came together, some groups from Brazil and also from Europe. ATAC, which is a French and I think group, it also has branches in across the world now, but it's basically an anti-globalization network, kind of looking at the idea of a Tobin tax, taxing transactions, international transactions, and funneling a percentage of that money back into local projects, into poverty reduction, things like this. Okay, so since 2001, the World Social Forum has been held, with the exception of 2004. The first 3 years, it was in Porto Alegre, Brazil. At around the same time as the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. And it started off with, I think, about 10,000 people the first year, and it's been mushrooming. In Mumbai, depending who was counting, there were between 80,000 and 120,000 people attending the World Social Forum. So in addition to the social forums, the World Social Forum, there has been kind of a social forum movement. After the first or couple of World Social Forums, there's been a move to kind of institute regional social forums and local social forums. So the past 3 years, there's been a European social forum. And actually in London, in the middle of October, will be this year's European Social Forum. Before, last year it was in Paris, and I think in 2002 it was in Italy, in Florence. And there was an Asian Social Forum in Hyderabad, India in 2003. So there have been regional social forums and local social forums, like the Boston Social Forum, Toronto. In Alberta, we're having a second social forum in February 2005. So there's quite an active group there. Okay, I just want to talk a little bit about the significance of how this all links into anarchism. And then what I want to say is divide this up into a couple of topics, a couple of headings, like an overview of what happened in Mumbai, some of my reflections, how I see the world social form as postmodernist. That's my take on it. Critical comments on the World Social Forum and kind of a left libertarian anarchist feminist stance, like what are some issues faced with the problems in the World Social Forum? You know, what kind of stance should we take toward it? Okay, so first of all, the Mumbai Social Forum. This is my first time in India, and I had a small research grant to go. The social forum was purposely moved to Mumbai because the feeling was that in Brazil, it was very much a product of the particular circumstances in Porto Alegre. To make the social forum more a world social forum, the proposal was that every 2 years it should move somewhere else, but it should stay in the south, because the countries of the South are suffering the most from corporate globalization. Okay, and also another reason for staying in the South is people in the South have a lot less money. So, you know, like North Americans, Europeans, gradually, most or a lot, have much more access to resources. So whether they go as individuals or they're sponsored by unions or NGOs, it's much easier for them to get there. And it would be extremely expensive for people to come from the South to the North for a social forum. So in order to kind of balance out the power inequities, there's been a commitment to hold it in the South. And to move it, not just keep it in Porto Alegre. The will be held in Porto Alegre again in January 2005. And after that, it's supposed to go to Africa. So we'll be coming back to Porto Alegre every 2 years or so. Anyway, Mumbai was a particularly interesting site for the World Social Forum because Mumbai is very much a globalized city. People who went to Porto, I haven't been to Porto Alegre, I'd like to go this year. I don't have any money, but I have to figure that out. But people who went to Porto Alegre, which is in a very kind of Europeanized part of Brazil, very kind of white, compared to other parts of Brazil, doesn't have large indigenous or African populations. It was kind of a white middle class affair, and Porto Alegre is, you know, not for a city in the south, fairly developed. But Mumbai is just a huge city, one of the largest cities in the world, depending who's counting the population. You know, I don't know, and depending what you count, 16 to 20 million, something along that line. And it's a globalized city. It's like the industrial heart of India. You see in Mumbai the incredible contrasts between rich and poor, like downtown Mumbai and Juhu, which is a kind of a suburb area. There are big international ritzy hotels and, you know, fancy restaurants. And there are people living, homeless people on the streets at the same time. So you see the really stark contrast between the rich and the poor. And, you know, when I compare it to Quito, I mean, Quito was easy. I've traveled a lot around the south, but even Mumbai shocked me, the poverty levels there. Quito is much more developed, and the social forum was held in the university campuses, and, you know, they even had PowerPoint. I go to conferences in the States, and sometimes there's no PowerPoint, you know. Like, yeah. And nice kind of downtown area of Quito, international restaurants, beautiful, you know, facilities. So you could come from the north and kind of, you'd recognize a different culture, but you wouldn't necessarily see the poverty that you see in Mumbai. So the social forum was actually held in Mumbai on an exhibition grounds outside, on the outskirts of the city. It wasn't beautiful university campus or what was interesting, I wasn't right in the center of the city. I was actually staying at a women's university, staying in a dorm there. Another contradiction of the social forums is some of the international participants, academics especially, end up staying at, you know, 3-4-star hotels in downtown areas, and they take air-conditioned taxis out to the venue, and, you know, they can be very insulated. So I was staying in a student dorm, and that was interesting, and it took about 3/4 of an hour to get out to the exhibition grounds, and going in the little auto rickshaw taxi, it was especially a striking coming back in the nighttime when it was dark, and every time this little auto rickshaw would stop at a traffic light, we were going through some of the worst slum areas, people living on the streets, and, you know, like all the beggars and little kids, 5-6 years old, would come running up to the auto rickshaw, and lepers too, sticking in their hands, begging. You know, that really brings it home to you. The effect of globalization, because globalization in India is pushing lots of people from the rural areas into the big cities like Mumbai, and they're ending up on the streets or in some of the slum areas. So I can remember the Canadian delegation there. One man was like in absolute culture shock. He had never traveled to countries in the third world before. He was a trade union representative. And, you know, even the ride coming in to the site of the World Social Forum, you know, it was the first time he had seen conditions of such homelessness and poverty. Okay, also Mumbai is a site of Bollywood. You know, that big cultural industry. And it's fairly close to Goa, which is a sex tourism destination in India. And sex tourism is very much tied up with globalization as well. So, the World Social Forum, between 80,000 to 120,000 people, there were massive numbers of parallel sessions. You know, you go into this thing, and aside from like culture shock and, you know, all this, it's just a very, very intensive experience. You're there with like 100,000 people, and there are like dozens and dozens and dozens of parallel sessions going on all day from 8:30 until 8 at night. And at the same time, there are all kinds of marches, groups, in the parade, in the exhibition area. They would, there were kind of central areas, and various groups were getting together with their banners and staging marches and rallies and speak-ins. So, you know, all of this was going on, and, you know, just there was too much going on. Considering all the logistical problems, it was fairly well organized, but they didn't actually get the programs out until day 3. So that's pretty typical. That was a bit better in Quito. They had them all on the web, and they were available the first day. But, you know, this is like the program. So this is just listing all the panels and parallel sessions, you know. And the area was so big, too. Trying to navigate your way around was very complicated. You know, not having the program before meant that you didn't really have time to look at this to figure out what you're going to.
What languages are the presentations?
Well, most of them, English is an official language in India, so that made that aspect was easy in India. Some of the sessions I went to, some of them there was Hindi translation, you know, some of the ones that were more focused, or English translation, you know, if they were more focused on Indian groups. They did have translation services available, but I got the impression they weren't all that great. Because the thing was, the overwhelming representation there was from India, of course, because it was being held in India. And in English is an official language. And a lot of Europeans and North Americans speak English. So I felt kind of sorry for, you know, the stray Italian or some Europeans. I think there was the World Social Forum. I think in general, Spanish, French, English, and Portuguese tend to be like at the America Social Forum, those were the four languages. But in reality, there tends to be a predominant language. In Quito, the predominant language was Spanish, and secondarily Portuguese. And I don't know if I went to anything in English. There was English translation, which was iffy. It wasn't available in all the small workshops, just the main panels. So translation is a problem. Too often. Okay. And there were, you know, considering the size of it, I mean, it was well organized to put together this type thing. And, you know, when you think you have to provide food and toilet facilities for 100,000 people some kind of transportation to get most people there, I mean, that's a big logistical nightmare. So it was fairly well organized. And one thing that's characteristic of the social forum in Mumbai, whereas other social forums had been critiqued strongly for being very white middle class affairs with panels dominated by male experts, in Mumbai it wasn't dominated by whites because most people there were from India. And there was also a large representation from other Asian countries. So Europeans, North Americans would be a minority. So, you know, and as a result of that, issues related to race and class and in the Indian context were much more prominent. And also there's a strong representation of women's groups and environmental groups. And in terms of like race class issues, something that's particular to India is the situation of the untouchables or the Dalits. And there's strong representation of Dalit groups there, a lot of marches and special sessions for Dalits. I went to a few of them. It was interesting that most of the Dalit sessions, you know, there were other Dalits there. There weren't that many internationals. There weren't that many other Indians. And also Adivasis. Adivasis are the indigenous groups in India. And there are a lot of problems in India with the caste system. I mean, this is related to racism and class in a particular Indian context because under Hinduism, the caste system, the Dalits are outside of the caste system, and they're very strongly discriminated against. And also the Adivasis, the same thing. They're not part of the caste system. Traditionally, a lot of these people don't have a place in Hindu society. And a lot of them are landless, very poor, and very, very discriminated against. Okay. On the positive side, the World Social Forum was really, really interesting. You know, aside from my critiques, it was a fascinating event, interesting to go to, just to be exposed to so many different people. It was a chance to learn about what's happening in India, because in the West, we don't really know the issues around caste and the situation of indigenous people. And we don't know much about Hindu fundamentalism, which is a gigantic problem in India right now. So it was a really good educational experience. And it was a chance to hear people from all over the world to, you know, find out what's happening with the women's movement, with globalization. There were a lot of panels that had people from all over the world, multinational representation. And it was a good chance to network. So there's some really good workshops on fundamentalism. I was particularly interested in that. And some feminist groups. There's several feminist networks that are very strongly represented in the World Social Forum. One is called the World March of Women. They started in Canada, but now actually they're worldwide. And they've been doing a lot of organizing through the World Social Forum. And they organized a session on fundamentalism. And DAWN is another one, Development Alternatives with Women for a New Era. It's kind of an international development organization, feminist development organization. Another group is from South America, called the Articulación Feminista Marcosur. It's a coalition of feminist groups from the southern part of South America, the Marcosur countries. It's a free trade area in the southern part of South America. And they've had a central role in organizing the social forum too. So it's very interesting to look at what they're doing. And a number of these groups were very active. They organized several panels on fundamentalism. Almost all of these groups organized a panel, at least one on fundamentalism, and coming together of the movements, convergence of the new social movements, and how globalization was affecting women around the world, kind of international panels. Okay, and particularly the social forum itself had a big exhibit on fundamentalism. There was a massacre in Gujarat province a couple of years ago where Muslims were massacred by Hindus. I'm not an expert on the Indian politics, but this was very significant. In conjunction with the rise of globalization, all around the world there's been a rise in fundamentalism and fascism. People are displaced, alienated by globalization, and they're getting sucked up in nationalist, ultra-nationalist politics that often laps over into fundamentalism. And this has been extremely problematic in India. The feminists at the social forum even thought it was a bigger problem than globalization. And it was quite interesting to hear one socialist feminist, Gail Omveldt, she's originally from the United States, but now living and working in India for quite a while. And she was saying in the 70s, you know, we thought everything was capitalism, and then feminists, and she's coming from a socialist feminist background, and then, you know, we added gender and race, and but she doesn't. She said she doesn't really know what to make of Hindu fundamentalism. This is a new thing, very, very difficult to address, and she sees it as a bigger problem than globalization. Okay, there were very good panels on women and work. An excellent panel that the Indian Federation of Women did. And it was packed, like, you know, 400 seat capacity tent, and these sessions were really long, about 3 hours long, and it was really hot there. You know, somebody would get up and the seat would fill, seats would fill up, and there were people standing up. It was an impressive session. There were even sessions on academics and activism. There were sessions on like sexual issues, sexual diversity, gay issues, coming together of the new social movements, Dalits, you know, various minority groups had their own sessions. I went to kind of a sprinkling of these different sessions, but I was particularly interested in the feminist sessions. So there were some major panels, you know, in this gigantic, like, tents, like, for thousands and thousands of people. And then there were some smaller tents for workshops. And I went to two particular workshops. I mean, a lot of these were very, the other ones I've mentioned were very interesting. But I'm particularly focusing on feminism and environmentalism and, you know, the ecofeminism, how the two come together. And one of the most prominent people in the World Social Forum is Vandana Shiva. And she's like the world's most famous ecofeminist too. So I went to a session, Diverse Women for Diversity is a group that she started. And I went to their session and I was more than a little shocked. And now I'm, you know, starting to look critically. First of all, the panel was all white. Now that's not what you'd expect for something called Diverse Women for Diversity. Canada's Maud Barlow, who's a liberal feminist, was there. And Maria Mies, who's Vandana's associate from Germany. And a woman from Mexico who spoke with a German accent and had blonde hair. You know, India has lots of women who speak English and really strong environmental movement. Vandana didn't show up. Okay. Second thing, what struck me most about this session, they handed out really glossy brochures, like, you know, nothing anybody else had. Really expensive looking brochures. And on the back of one brochure, they listed the associates of Vandana's educational institute in Dehradun. And I was kind of horrified because just before I left for the World Social Forum, I was downloading some articles from the web that were critical of the World Social Forum. And one of them, this is a site by a Dutch group. The translation in English is No One is Illegal. They're kind of an anti-racist group. And they have a whole site. If you Google Edward Goldsmith and the New Right, you come across some interesting things. Edward Goldsmith is a member of Vandana's Institute. He has associations with neo-Nazi parties in Europe. And some of his politics are kind of like anti-immigration, bordering on racism. He's the editor of The Ecologist magazine. He's a millionaire. It's always nice to have a millionaire on your educational institute. But a number of people in The Ecologist quit because of his politics. This is not just an isolated case either. I'm not going to get into that here, but in general, Vandana's subsistence, ecofeminist subsistence perspective has allied itself with some very questionable groups in India. And if you want to find out more about that, Mirananda has a new book out called Prophets Facing Backwards. And in the last chapter of that book, she actually talks about Vandana's appearances at several meetings of wealthy peasants who have associations with BJP, which was the Nationalist Party, and even Hindutva, the Hindu fundamentalists. So Vandana has appeared at some of those meetings. I mean, she's not advocating fascism. I'm not trying to say that. But the kind of anti-modernist politics that she's advocating is something that's very attractive to conservatives and ultra-nationalists. And what's happening is she's becoming complicit with that. She's very sloppy about who she allies herself with and what kind of sources she's using. And feminists in India were really critical of Vandana Shiva. The best somebody had to say about her was she was an elitist. And that all of her support was basically coming from the West. Maybe that's why they were all white women on that panel. Okay, the second group, and you know, again, I'm looking from the eco-feminist perspective, and this group has since attracted Vandana Shiva too, so there's some links. There's a group called Feminists for a Gift Economy. I went to their session. This is based on a book by an American oil heiress and philanthropist, Genevieve Vaughn. You can download it free from the web. She wants to replace capitalism with a gift economy based on women's mothering. It's cultural feminism, very idealist, all about just changing values. And it's a universal sisterhood. I ran into her at another conference in the summer, and she tells me she's a Marxist and a witch. So if you can reconcile those two things, or, you know, I mean, that says something. A Marxist witch. How can you be a Marxist witch? Anyway, Starhawk is a member of that group. They're heavily into ecofeminist spirituality and that sort of thing. And there was hardly anybody there at that session. They had their little, like, five or six feminists from around the world. Who are talking about things like what we have to do is teach boys to be caring. That's going to take a while to work, you know. So in the meantime, we'll support the social democratic welfare state. That's kind of their solution, to teach everybody caring values, like based on motherhood, the values of, it's a maternal feminism.